All right, Job chapter number 40. Sakla tayo ng Job, and we only have a few more chapters left. 41 and 42, and then we wrap up the book of Job. All right. Anyone else needs one? Okay, are we good? All right. Ate Caroline, did you get one for Ate Tess? Okay, all right. All right, so Job chapter 40, ito yung pangalawang speech ng Panginoon. At ang hamon niya kay Job para maipakumbaba niya si Job. To humble Job, the Lord gives a second speech. So the first speech, of course, was effective. Job's reply is that I will not speak, I will not say another word, I will keep my mouth shut. But that is still not the response that God is interested in. And so the Lord continues to give a second speech. Now, thankfully, at the end of this speech, Job responds exactly what needs to be said. And we'll look at that perhaps either next week or the week after. But this section of Job in chapter 40 and also in chapter 41, the Lord is going to call Job's attention to two unusual creatures. Since we're into the animal realm, the animal world, God is challenging Job, saying, okay, Job, you cannot contend with me about the things of heaven, firmaments. You can't contend with me about the clouds and the water cycle. You can't contend with me about the ocean. You're not going to contend with me about Sheol. So why don't we make the fight fair? What if you contend with a creature instead of the creator? And so I'm going to give you two creatures that you might want to contend with. Let's see how well you do, Job. You know, make it fair. So anyway, notice in verse number 6, chapter 40, verse number 6, then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind. We're back again to the whirlwind. So the Lord again is challenging Job. So apparently Job's initial repentance, though it was great and necessary, is not enough. God is still trying to show Job some aspects of his heart. And I do believe God is trying to expose the pride that is latent or inherent in the heart of Job. And so, yes, Job is a great man of God. He's a just, upright, perfect man by the standards of the law, by the evaluation of man, even by the testimony of the Lord. But the greatest of people are still sinners and fallen in sin. And so as Job was maintaining his integrity through the trial, he also developed a sense of self-righteousness that he was being tested unnecessarily by the Lord. And God took away his chance to defend himself. And well, the Lord gave him a chance, and now he doesn't want to defend himself. He's starting to see the depth of pride in his own heart. So now the Lord speaks out of the whirlwind one more time. This speaks of power and majesty and invoking fear in the heart of Job. And so the Lord continues to challenge Job. So chapter 7, hanggang 14, is God's power to humble proud people. And then from chapter 15 to 21 is the description of the first creature that we will look at tonight, the behemoth. All right? And so let's look at the first section here. The Lord has power to abase the proud. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to study the Word of God. I pray as we consider these closing chapters and the closing arguments of Jehovah God that we would examine our hearts and compare them to Job's and also see the sins and pride that is latent in our hearts and constantly stirred up by situations and things of that nature being exposed, exposing the pride in our hearts. I pray that we would learn to humble ourselves before Almighty God and trust Him through hard trials, Lord. And we love You. We ask that You would bless us, encourage our hearts. Teach us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, so the Lord has power to humble the proud. Let's look at chapter 40 and we'll read verse number 7. The Bible says, "Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous?" So Job, are you going to try to correct me? Are you going to argue and fuss with me? Are you going to contend with me, Job, just so you can justify yourself? And so one of the problems when dealing with the human heart is the self-righteous attitude that is natural. So natural sa puso ng tao na ang pag-iisip natin, we always think we're better than we really are. We think we're okay, but we're not okay. Not when you look at the scriptures and you look at our heart. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So we always have to come back to the Word of God and get back to the reality of what the Bible teaches concerning our hearts. So, Job, are you going to correct me? Are you going to answer me? Now, I don't believe Job will be able to do that. So look at verse number 9. "Hast thou an arm like God? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like Him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellence, and array thyself with glory and beauty." Okay, Job, can you act like God, the Creator? Now that you're in misery and you have the testings and trials on you, your health is gone, can you deck yourself in glory and majesty? Of course, the answer is no. Job is learning that he is not in control. And we need to learn that lesson. Lahat tayo, we have to remind ourselves. We will prepare for things. We have to have contingencies for things. And proper preparation prevents poor performance. We know that, okay? But ultimately, we're not in control. We have no control over anything except how we respond in our heart. That we can control. The choice is ours to respond in faith or to respond in the flesh. And so, let's see here. Verse number 12. "Look on everyone that is proud." So now, pride is one of the main sins, not just in the book of Job. This is one of the earliest books written, the book of Job, written way before Moses wrote Genesis. So this is a patriarchal time. So sa outline ng Bible, nauna yung mga patriarchs. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Most likely this was around the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph. And so Moses doesn't come out until later. Till 400 years later from Joseph. Okay? Moses shows up and then he writes. Now, Moses writes about creation. And creation predates Job. Okay? So you understand the content is older but not the book. The oldest book in the Bible is Job. And Job is already dealing with pride. And pride has already been in the heart of man. And where did pride start from? Where did pride begin? It started in the heart of Lucifer. And then when pride affected Lucifer's heart, Lucifer became a tempter. And when pride entered into Eve's heart, Eve became a tempter to Adam. Now Eve was beguiled. So, parang naloko siya ng demonyo. But Adam knew better because God spoke to Adam. So, Adam knew that Eve sinned against God and he joined her in that sin. Eve did not know, so she has a little bit of an excuse. Adam knew full well, and he is without excuse. Furthermore, Adam is the head. So instead of protecting Eve, he allowed her to have a conversation with a serpent that was devil-possessed. And so pride affected the heart. So everybody who's born of Adam, do you know anybody who's not born of Adam? Huh? Who is the ones that are not born of Adam? Every human being is born of Adam. You can trace us back to the first husband and wife, Adam and Eve. And so if their hearts were infected by pride, guess what? Natural sa heart natin. We have natural sinful pride in our hearts. Even if you're saved and you're born again, you still have pride, and we have to be able to control that pride and humble ourselves. So, proud. So verse 12, look on everyone that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret. Job, do you know how to deal with proud people, Job? Bring him low. Hide them in the dust. That means bury them. Job, do you know how to kill them? Do you know how to put them away and bury them in the dust, Job? And by the way, if you dealt with people in pride, how many people would remain? How many people would remain? If everyone who has pride is buried, how many would remain? None. So, what a problem. Verse 14. Then will I also... Verse 13. Hide them in the dust together, bind their faces in secret. Verse 14. Job, if you can do all that, if you can humble the proud, if you can do that, Job, look at what God says in verse 14. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. So here's a message of salvation. And people need to hear this. If you can save yourself, Job, if you can save yourself, I would have confessed it. If you know how to humble pride and control pride in your heart, if you can abase the proud, you can save yourself. You don't need a savior. You don't need me to come and save you. So, what's God saying? The only one who can control pride in our heart is God. We cannot control pride. Can we save ourselves? No. So natural man thinks he can save himself. That's exactly. If a person is not saved and born again, yung mindset niya, I'm okay and I can save myself. Maybe I can do religious good works to save myself. I can make me better. I can do nice things. And I don't... Hindi naman niya sinasabi hindi ko kailangan si Lord. Sinasabi niya, kailangan kong tulong ni Lord, pero dadagdagan ko yung tulong niya, tutulungan ko rin yung sarili ko. That's the natural man's mindset. I can control pride. I can control the sin in my life. I don't need the Lord to intervene. But God is already, in the very first book, early in the scriptures, He's already dealing with root problems, the problem of pride and self-righteousness and salvation by good works and so on. And so we see the Lord here. Let's see what God thinks of pride. Ano kaya ang isip ng Diyos patungkol sa pride? Now, we'll share a few verses this week, and then we'll go next week. I'll show some more verses. But let's look at, for example, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17. I wonder, what does God think of pride? So sometimes, if you want to study the Bible, it's good to look up words like proud or pride. Gamitin nyo yung concordance para makita ninyo ano yung mind ng Panginoon patungkol sa pride. And so here's some example, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17. I don't think he thinks really highly about pride or he cares for it. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. So there you have it. God hates a proud look. Now verse 16, sabi ng Bible, Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate. So does God hate a proud look? Yeah. Ano yung proud look? Ayan yung minamataas mo yung paningin mo. Ano yung parang yung kilay na ka? Paano yun? Kinokorek ka ng Diyos, tapos you have a proud look. God hates, sabi ng Bible. Do you see that? The Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, and so on and so forth. So, what does God think of pride? He hates it. He hates it. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. Proverbs 8:12. Sabi ng Bible, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Proverbs 8:12. So, ang nagsasalita, the person speaking here is wisdom. Of course, this is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. It's one of those manifestations of a pre-incarnate Christ. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So here's a testimony from the pre-incarnate Christ. He hates pride. So the God the Father hates pride. God the Son hates pride. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4. Does it change? Do you think God will change his mind about pride? Let's see. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4. Proverbs 21, 4. An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. So what does God think of pride? He thinks it's sin. He hates it and he calls it an abomination. There's nothing good about pride. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Again, pride came from the heart of Lucifer. And Paul testifies to this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So the condemnation of the devil was condemned because of pride. And so pride that kicked the devil out of heaven, transformed Lucifer into the devil, is the same pride that resides latently, inherently in our hearts. We all have it. We all have it. So we better put a check on pride. Okay? So examine your hearts. Now don't, you know, we can study Lucifer. We can examine the pride in Lucifer's heart. We can see how glorious he was and how he fell into sin and now how abominable he is. We can criticize Satan, but the same pride in his heart is in our hearts as well. And really, yung problema ko, my problem is not the devil. I will never answer to God for the devil. I'm not in control of him. I can't do anything about him. But I will answer to God for my heart. And so, yes, we can always point to the devil, but it always comes back to us. The problem is our hearts is naturally sinful and has pride. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit of God. Every day we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I confess my sin of pride in my heart, and I'm asking you, Lord, to humble me, to get rid of that pride in my heart, Lord. Teach me to abide with you. Teach me to yield myself in control of the Holy Spirit of God. All right, so God hates pride. All right, one more concerning man being able to save himself. Look at Psalm 89. Can man save himself? So why do you think God is dealing with salvation very early in the book of Job? Because man is naturally proud and is naturally unsaved. Man is naturally unsaved. Psalm 89, verse 48. Psalm 89, verse 48. And by the way, can man save himself? Psalm 89, verse 48. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? And the answer, of course, is no. There's not one person on earth that will not see death, unless, of course, Jesus raptures them. Or can he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? There's not one person on earth who can deliver his soul from the hand of the grave. That's only God can deliver us from death, from spiritual death and physical death as well. So only the Lord can do that. All right? So Job, do you have power over pride? No. Job, can you save yourself? No. So let me give you an example of a powerful creature that is full of pride, that has reason to be proud. All right? If there is any valid reason for this creature, let's see what God says about this creature, how he describes this creature. Look at Job chapter 40. Let's go to verse 15. So tatapusin na natin itong chapter na ito. We're going to go from 15 all the way down to 24. But notice what the scripture says here. Chapter 40, verse 15. Behold now Behemoth. Okay, so what is Behemoth? Oh, well, the scriptures doesn't really say what kind of animal Behemoth is. Now, he describes Behemoth, but not one thing fits a particular animal. So this might very well be an animal that's no longer around today, or a kind of animal that's around today, but not the species or that type of animal is no longer around today. But he is known as Behemoth. So in Hebrew, yung word Behemoth ay plural. It's a plural noun. So in essence, God is saying, behold now beasts. Plural. Behemoth means beasts in plural, although it's one animal. So this animal is loaded. It's loaded with strength. It's loaded with majesty. It's loaded with excellence. It's a very proud beast. Which, and by the way, God is saying to Job, behold now Behemoth. Contemplate, think about Behemoth, Job. And he says here, which I made with thee. So, Job, I created this creature right alongside when I made you. So, this is an unusual beast. The Bible says he eateth grass as an ox. So, he's a herbivore. Tama ba yun, no? Herbivore. Kapag karne ang kinakain mo, you are carnivore. Kapag halaman ang kinakain mo, you are herbivore. Tapos kapag halaman at saka karne ang kinakain mo, you are omnivore. Okay, so you know that. All right? Well, Behemoth is herbivore. It's not a meat-eating animal. Lo, his strength is in his loins, his force is in his navel of his belly. That alone tells you he's not a dinosaur. He's got a belly. He was not hatched from an egg. All right, dinosaurs come from eggs. But not Behemoth. Behemoth was birthed because he has a navel. So, I'll tell you what I think the animal is. I believe behemoth is an elephant. So malaking elephant siya. And so do you know how big elephants can get? They can get up to 15 feet high. And that's just standing. They're not even like standing on their 2 feet. And they're massively huge animals. So currently today, the largest elephant is in Africa. And it weighs 24,000 pounds. 24,000 pounds. That's a pretty mighty beast. What a behemoth. All right, so let's see here. Verse 17, he moveth his tail like a cedar, and sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong as pieces of brass, and his bones are like bars of iron. He is chief in the ways of God. So he hath made him, he that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Nobody walks up to this beast and dares fight with the beast except God. So this is a very strong and mighty creature. Surely the mountains bring him forth food. Man, he can just go to lay down in a mountain somewhere and eat them all up. That's a mighty beast. Where all the beasts of the field play. So here's the other beasts around him just playing, leaving him alone. They don't want to mess with that guy. Imagine the huge elephant just stomping on you. That would not be good. Probably wouldn't feel good. He lieth under the shady trees and in the covert of the reed and fen. So mga halaman. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. So he lives in the marshlands, just where there's moisture and cool. Behold, he drinketh up a river. So he takes his little nose, it's not little, his huge nose and just sucks up all the river. Dry. Just an amazing creature. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. So the Jordan River, he can just scoop up that entire river right into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. People try to hunt him, but his nose just cuts right through their traps. It's a mighty beast. Mighty beast. So behemoth, a created animal. Created animal. Look at Psalm 49, verse 12. Go over to Psalm 49, verse 12. Psalm 49, verse 12. This is behemoth in the original Hebrew text, translated beasts in the English. Psalm 49, verse 12. Nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the behemoth that perish. Or the beasts, plural, that perish. So it's a powerful, powerful animal. So what does behemoth represent? Well, he represents pride. So can anybody control behemoth? No. Can anybody control pride? No. So only God can contend with behemoth. Only God could deal with pride. Job, can you? No. All right, now, there is another picture in the Bible. So this behemoth here could very well also be a prophetic symbol for a future conglomeration of beasts. So meron palang beasts sa Bible. Yes, and yung beast na parating, plural din siya. He's made up of many beasts that form into one man. Who is that one man, the beast, in Revelation? It's the Antichrist. That's right. He is known as the beast. Pero kung babasahin mo ang Daniel, he is made up, he's got the head of this, and he's got the body of this, the teeth of this, the horns of this. It's no such animal like him. Because it's a prophetic picture of a man of sin, a man of pride. Go over to Revelation 13, verse 1. Revelation 13, 1. So, I believe the book of Job lays the foundation for a beast, a proud man, a superman. Kung baga, hindi lang siya normal man. He, a man empowered by the devil. And then, of course, next week, we're going to look at Leviathan, a serpent. Totally different from the beast. And in Revelation 13, we have all three of these characters. Revelation 13, verse 1. Tingnan mo ang Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, here comes a beast out of the sea. And let's see if we have... We can compare him with any beast that we know. All right, let's see his description. Having seven heads and ten horns. Do you know any animal, any beast that has seven heads and ten horns? I don't. But John saw it, you see. Having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. So he's like a leopard. His feet was the feet of a bear. Okay, so you got a leopard body, you got a bear feet, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. Boy, you got a lion mouth. This is a behemoth. Plural, beasts. I'm not saying this is the behemoth in Job. I'm saying this is a beast that's made up of all different kinds of beasts. And it points to the Antichrist. Now, sabi ng Bible, and the dragon gave him his power. That's another beast. You see? There's the Antichrist who is empowered by the dragon. So who's the Antichrist? That's the beast. Who's the dragon? That's Satan. That's the devil. So... the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after that, after the beast. Verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. They worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war unto him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months, so that's 3.5 years. So, to continue for 42 months. So if he's continuing for another 42 months, that means he had ruled for the last 42 months. Well, guess what? That's 3.5 years going that way until he got assassinated, and then he came back to life to rule for another 3.5 years. So how many years is that total?
7 years.
Oh, well, that means we're looking at a 7-year tribulation period. Guess who's in charge on earth during the 7-year tribulation period? The beast. I'm thankful that doesn't apply to me as a Christian. Amen? I'm saved. So, wala ako dito. So, does everything in the Bible apply to the Christian? No. This doesn't apply to me. Maybe to you. I hope not. I hope not. It would not be good. So, verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. See how proud he is? Blaspheming God? You got to be mighty proud to blaspheme God. And dumb too. His name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. This is the tribulation saints. To overcome them. The power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb, life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And if any man have an ear, let him hear. And so on and so forth. Now, look in verse number 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. This is not the same beast. So there's the Antichrist. There's the dragon. And here comes another beast. Sino itong ikatlo? Tingnan natin. And he had two horns, like a lamb. He spake as a dragon. So he has a gift of preaching and speaking. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So itong second beast naman, meron siyang kapangyarihan na itaguyod o iangat yung first beast. Sino itong second beast? That's the false prophet. So yan yung satanic trinity. So, the dragon, katumbas yan kay God the Father. Si Antichrist, katumbas yan kay Christ, Jesus Christ. Kaya nga Antichrist. Salungat kay Kristo. And this second beast promotes the first beast. Yan ang trabaho ng second beast. Inaangat yung first beast. He is katumbas sa Holy Spirit. Kasi yung Holy Spirit, pag na-minister ang Holy Spirit, palaging inaangat ng Holy Spirit si Jesus Christ. And so, kung merong heavenly trinity, meron din palang satanic trinity. So, mababasa mo yan sa Revelation 13. And so on and so forth. So the point I'm making is this. God hates pride, and God uses the behemoth to show Job how powerless Job is to control the behemoth and to control pride in his heart. He needs God. He needs God, and we need the Lord. And of course, behemoth is a picture. I'm not saying he is the Antichrist. He's an elephant. But a beast of plurality of majesty and strength and pride, and a perfect picture of the coming beast, the behemoth that's on his way. By the way, alam ba niyang demonyo kung kailan magra-rapture? Hindi alam ng demonyo, no? Kasi hindi naman siya omniscient. So, is it fair to say that in every hour, in every day, in every moment, he has to have a man of sin ready to take over the moment the rapture hits? Absolutely. So today, there is a beast waiting in the shadows. Waiting for the time. Are you ready? Not for the beast. We are never commanded in the Bible to watch for the beast. We are commanded in the scriptures to watch for the Lamb. Amen. The blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're saved, if you're born again, you're ready for the rapture. You're rapture ready. Pero pag hindi ka saved, you're ready for behemoth. You're ready for the beast. Ikukunin mo yung tatak niya. Kami, wala na kami dito. One day, pupunta ka sa church, kakatok ka sa pintuan, oy, 9 o'clock, wala pang tao dito. Oh, walang tao dito. Nakalock pa yung unit. Oy, saan sila? Nasaan sila? 9 o'clock. Alam ko yan, yung Amerikano na yan, on time palagi yan. Ha? On time yan. Ha? Ba't wala pa sila? Walang sasakyan? Wala oh. Katok na. Sige nga. Try natin pumasok. Ay, walang tao. Ay, yung bags nandito. Ba't walang tao dito? 9 o'clock na. Lord's Day na Lord's Day. Dapat nandito sila, lalo na kahapon, ang lakas ng lindol. Daming mga replano na, no? Daming mga apoy, sunog. It's too late. It's too late. Doon mo na, basahin mo lang yung Facebook. Ay, meron ng bagong ano, namumuno, si Behemoth, si Beast. Oh, ang galing niya magsalita. Oh, siya na lang ang pangulo natin. Yes. consolidate yung finances, one world economic, plastic na. Wala nang coins, wala nang cash. I'm just saying, it could vary. I don't know. Pero that 13 doesn't belong, apply to a born-again Christian. And that's my heart's desire, that everybody would come to know the Lord as Savior para masama tayo sa rapture ng mga believers. Si Jesus para siyang magnet. Naglaro na ba kayo ng magnet? Pag linagay mo yung magnet sa lupa, yung mga may metal lang ang didikit sa magnet. Yung non-metallic element, matitira. So, subukan nyo. Try it. Get a magnet. Bili kayo ng maliit na magnet. Ilagay nyo sa lupa. Yung sasama, yun lang metal. Yung mananatili, yung dumi. Just dirt na walang metallic element. Nandyan lang yan. Matitira yan. Ganun ang rapture. Sinong sasama kay Kristo, Brother Bill? Yung mga saved, born again. Sinong mananatili dito? Yung kakatok sa pintuan na ano, wala na tayo dito. Sino yon? Yan yung mga nakaupo dito na nakikinig ng salita ng Diyos pero hindi tinatagong salita ng Diyos sa puso. Walang pagbabago, walang pagsisisi, hindi tinanggap si Kristo. Baptist na Baptist. You're gonna have to deal with behemoth. So baka magturo na lang ako ng ano? Tribulation, ano? Truth. Para sa mga mananatili. Kasi may ano yan, pelikula pa yan. Kung gusto mong panoorin yun, mali rin sila. Never na yung pelikula, there's not a Hollywood production on earth that got it right. They all have problems. And so don't even watch that to see what you need to do. How about just get saved? Para rapture ready na tayo. Let's pray and ask God to bless. And Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that the Word of God is what deals with hearts, what breaks the pride in hearts is the Word of God. That your Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, Lord, even to the very soul and spirit, if it could even be divided. It could split hard hearts. So I pray that the Word of God would do its work. I pray if there are some who don't know Jesus as Savior, that they would repent of pride and sin and truly trust in Jesus Christ, that they would be joined at the blessed hope. And we look for that, listening for the trumpet, watching for the Lamb of God that was slain since the foundation of the world. We thank you for him, for the Lamb. We don't want to see the beast and the second beast and even the dragon. We don't want anything to do with them. We just ask that you bless us now in your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.